in what the Lord has done here. And I praise the Lord for that. The Lord brought a passage of Scripture to my mind, or a verse to my mind, last night. And this is not where we're going to start, but I want you to think about this verse for a moment. Here in Numbers chapter 21, in verse 4. And I think this is where we are as believers today. We're discouraged. We know that we need a moving of God. We know that we need the power that only comes from being upon our knees to an Almighty God. It says here in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, it says, "And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now, when we think about the way for a moment, let's think about the way. Let's think about what we are going by the way in our United States of America. Think about how we've taken God out of almost everything that is around us. Think about how today what we used to call evil and what we call is sin is now popular and now is good. Look and think about how we used to think that abortion was murder, and now it's not murder, it's just a right for someone to make a decision. Think about how we used to say that homosexuality was a sin and an abomination. And now today we say it's an alternative lifestyle. We say it's all right. We've got a great falling away that's taking place in our nation because religions are allowing these sinners, these abominations, to be ordained into the ministry. And we are discouraged by the way because some of us, we have stood by the stuff. We have preached the Word of God. We have prayed unto the Lord, and our God is mighty. But there is something that we are missing. Now we go over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we're very familiar with this verse. And anybody that is preaching revival, they go to this verse. And when we think about this, but this verse here that we look at in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for this opportunity once again. Lord, for just being able to be in your house. Father, Lord, we ask that you'll just give us something that we can build our lives upon. Give us a spiritual truth today, Lord. Father, we thank you for all the preaching that you've given us this morning, Lord, and how it was right on time and what we need, Father. Thank you for that nourishment. Thank you for that meat that you gave us from the Word of God. But Father, as we open back up, Lord, and as we get ready for the second course, Lord, allow me to get out of the way, Father, Lord, and I ask that you'll preach through me. We thank you for all that you're doing in your holy name. Amen. But as we see this verse here and we think about this verse for just a moment, we have to understand that there are some things about revival that we kind of forget about. We read this verse and we have this recipe here of what we need to do. But there's something that we're falling short in. You know, some have said that, what are we falling short in? Well, I believe that we're falling short in prayer. I believe that prayer is the backbone of revival. I believe when we think about that for a moment, instead of substituting these new ideals and doing these new things, that we need to just get back on the altar and start praying again and getting a hold of God in again. And His revival is for God's people. Now, it is a blessing that when we have revival that people get saved, amen. But really and truly what revival is for is to get us closer to Him again. Now see, a lot of times we get to this place, this is what we do. We call on His name. We pray. We don't do what pray like we should pray. You know, we probably all could say, oh me, I know I can. But we look and we think about this for a moment, and we know that revival, in this verse, revival has some ingredients. And we're going to look at these ingredients, but this is not the part of the message that I think that we're missing. You know, the ingredients are, first of all, is humility. You know, we don't humble ourselves before God. You know, we kind of have the attitude as the young teenage girl that told her pastor that she had a problem with a besetting sin. And the pastor said, well, what is that besetting sin? Maybe I can help you with it. And she said, my problem is that I think I am the best looking girl, young girl in the church. And he said back to her, he said, honey, in your case, it's not a sin. It is a horrible mistake. Now, when you think about that for just a moment, a lot of times when we come before the altar of God, we come with everything that we can bring to God. We don't truly humble ourselves before Him and come with that broken and contrite heart that we should. Now, we need humility. He calls for that. He tells us here in that verse that we looked at. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That means we have to get low. That means we have to come to the end of everything that we think we can do and allow God to do it. And when we think about that for a moment, it means that we should be able to, what, accept criticism. We should be able to see. And now here's an important thing about criticism. You know, when we think about criticism for a moment, we think about, well, can I take criticism from other people? Well, if I'm going to be truly humble, I should be able to take criticism from others. Well, let's up this a little bit. Can you take the criticism from the Word of God? Can you get to the place when you open the Word of God, that when you open the Word of God, that it cuts your heart and it humbles it yourself and it shows you your unworthiness in front of an Almighty God? When we think about that humility for a moment, we're not talking about whether you can get along with people, what people think, but we're talking about doing business with God. And it takes a humility that only comes from us getting alone in His Word. And it's allowing us to allow God to shine above anything that we do or we say. In other words, my ministry shouldn't be about me. Your ministry shouldn't be about you. Your ministry should be all about Jesus Christ. And when we think about that and we look upon that and we see what He has for us here, this criticism, He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than themselves. Now, when we think about that for a moment, we need to understand that when we think about ourselves, folks, we need to see ourselves as we are. If we truly want to do business with God, we've got to get out of the way. We've got to get out of the way. If we want to see our churches grow, and I'm not talking in numbers, I'm talking, I just want to see my people grow in the Word of God. See their relationship get closer with the Lord. Instead of hearing the things, how they're going backwards, like Brother Dustin said, there's a lot of truth to have them tell you what they're going to do. And you know sure and well, and they know that it's sin what they're doing. We come to this place and we know what it says in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And a lot of times we come across like we have nothing, especially as preachers, that we're right up here. But folks, really, we're way down here and we need to be on our knees calling out to the Lord. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And then that last part, in His Word is not in us. You know, we think about that for a moment. You know, I think about how we need that humility. And then we see in this verse that we need prayer. And we think about prayer. You know, a lot of times we don't put a whole lot into prayer. You know, we like to pray about things. And we like to pray about this and pray about that. But when do we truly get in prayer and humble ourselves before God and allow God to work on us in prayer? See, that's a difference than bringing that grocery list. That's a difference than just us calling out these things that we need around the church, and we need workers, we need this, we need that, and Lord, if you'll do this, we'll do that. And no, getting beside and saying, Lord, show me where I'm falling short. Lord, show me what your word has for me today. Lord, lead me through your word. Lord, help me to be that witness in the community. Help me be the witness in my family. Help me to have a testimony. Lord, don't allow me to fall by the things. Don't let me get discouraged by the way. Oh, we think about them children of Israel. They were discouraged by the way. You think about this. They had just been through the Red Sea. Don't you think you'd be shouting if you saw that Red Sea pull back and you went through on dry land? Don't you think that's something to shout about? And now they're on the other side and they're wanting them. You know, I told the church the other day, I cannot see how anybody would be excited about onions and leeks. And here they're thinking about how they had it good in Egypt. How it was good to be a slave. Amen. They got discouraged by the way. We think about prayer. It says in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. You know, we think about this for many times. You know, there's an old hymn that I like to sing, take time to be holy. I believe the reason why we don't see God work in the way that He needs to be work. God not working is because we don't take time to be holy anymore. We don't take time to separate ourselves unto the things of God. You know, maybe this don't go on in your church, but it goes on in mine, in my people. They sometimes separate themselves unto the world. And you can preach, and you can preach, and you can give the gospel, but until the Holy Spirit moves on their heart and convicts them, they do not separate back unto Him. And then after that moving, after they get their heart right, they have done some things over here when they separated themselves unto the world that makes it hard for them once again to separate unto God because of the baggage of sin. And when we see this for a moment, then we see this desire. And this is what I want to talk about if the Lord will allow this desire to seek. It says, seek my face. You know, when we think about this for a moment, the true worth of a man is to be measured by the object that he pursued. So what are we as a church, as a born-again body of believers, what are we pursuing? Are we pursuing Him? You know, go with me to 2 Chronicles 15 for just a moment. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 15 it is. It says in 15:15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, when you see that verse there, it talks about here that they had sworn with all their heart, and they sought him, their whole desire. So that means they were completely all about their God. Are we completely all about our God? Now, I was over in the book of Nehemiah. If you'll turn there for just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 9. And I was studying this, and the Lord brought this to my attention. It says, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Now, we look at that second verse there, and when we look at that second verse, we say, well, you know, they've done what they need to be. They've done exactly what they need to do. They've confessed their sin. They separated from the strangers. They separated themselves from the strange things. It goes on, Father. They even wanted to get so close to the Lord. They even confessed the sins of their fathers, the iniquities of their fathers. But go drop with me to this verse 3. It says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of that of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, let's look at this for just a moment. We see in verse 2 that they confessed. And then we see that they came to their place and they stood in their place. And for 6 hours, they got into the Word of God. They got into the law of God. And then what happened after that happened? For another 6 hours, they confessed. Do you know what took place there that's not taking place in our churches? We have a lot of surface convictions. In other words, I call it running down to the altar. They run down to the altar and nothing changes and they go back. And here we see with these people, they ran down to the altar and they thought they had everything right because they've confessed everything, even the iniquities of their father. And now they get into the Word of God. And the Word of God makes them go a little deeper. The Word of God made them search themselves a little more. The Word of God made them reach down and really see where they're at and really for the first time humble themselves before God. And then it says they worship God. Oh, when we think about that for just a moment, what we're missing is we've got a lot of surface. We've got a lot of running down to the altar and no changing. We've got a lot of that going on and we've got a lot of confession of sin. But we don't have a whole lot of repenting going on. We get in the Word of God, and if you truly get into the Word of God, you see people change. Now, folks, I won't give you a dime for a salvation that won't change a man. But I will tell you this, if you do get saved, there will be a change. And if you are saved today, when you confess your sins, you know when you've done business with Him and you haven't done business. But what He requires of us is to get alone with Him in His Word where we can go into the deeper things of God, where we can get it right, where He can use us, where we can worship Him, and then we can cry out unto Him and seek His face. See, I believe we're missing something before we seek His face. I believe we're at a place that we're at a place that we're not ready to seek His face. We haven't came to that. You know, the core problem is not that we're too passionate about bad things. That's not our problem. We're very passionate about what we do. But you know, as it says in 1 Chronicles, it says, seek the Lord in His strength and seek His face continually. I believe we're missing it because we're not seeking His face continually. We're seeking Him on Sunday morning. We're seeking Him on Sunday night and Wednesday night, but are we seeking Him continually? You know, it's bad when the average Christian in the average church can't find the book of Matthew. We're not talking a minor prophet here. You know, sometimes some of them, especially in your big way of preaching, some of them Obadiahs and stuff get hard to find. But I'll tell you, have people tell me that they've been in church for 30 years, but they can't teach a Sunday school lesson because they don't believe they have anything to teach. And they've been sitting on a pew for 30 years. Folks, there's a lot of surface. There's a lot of surface confession with no repentance. And a lot of people have surface confess and they're expecting God to do what He says. The reason why there is no power in some of our churches is because all that surface stuff and nobody's doing true business with God. Nobody is going and confessing and getting that settled and then allowing the Word of God to penetrate and dissect them and then get to the place where they honestly can call and have no sin in between them and their God. But we think that we can come down, and folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to get on the altar and I have to agonize. Because getting rid of this flesh, I can't get rid of it. But it keeps getting up. It keeps rising up. and it's ungodly, and it's not saved, and it don't want nothing to do with God. But the only way I can keep it down is on my knees. The only way I can keep it away from me is in His Word. The only way that I can do what God has called me to do is by keeping my sin, being dead to myself. That's the only way I can do it. We want to know why God's not moving in our churches, because I believe His believers are not dead to self. Please don't disown me. I'm from here, okay? But I think about repentance. You know, let's go back for a moment. We think about a desire there we were talking about and seeking Him. And we have a tendency to forget how to yearn for something. Remember when you got saved and how you yearned for the Word of God? And as we've gotten older, we don't yearn for the Word of God like we should. You know, truly, we should yearn more for the Word. As we get closer to Him, you know, the appetite should grow. The more we get it, the more we want of it. We should not get full of it. Like we go over here and eat physically, and we eat and we get full. But with the spiritual, the more we eat, the more we should want. And the more we should aspertain to be close. And we think of repentance, you know, an unrepented sin is still a continued sin. And folks, a lot of people think they can pick what they repent of, because they don't want to get rid of it. And repentance is not basically a religious word. You know, it comes from a culture where essentially people who lived in the desert that had no map, and they would walk around and they get lost. And if they said that they had to turn around and go back to where they found their place, they'd say they had to repent. And repent meant to turn around and go the opposite direction. And folks, we've got to get to the place that we repent and turn the opposite direction and get more into the Word of God. And you say, well, I've hid the Word of God in my heart. I know the Word of God. I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I'm there on Wednesday night. I'm here at camp meeting. I'll be here at any revival that you have. Okay. Don't throw nothing. But you still could have a bunch of hidden sin. Don't throw nothing. We still need to repent. If we're truly serious, and I'm like Brother Benny, I believe I'd quit preaching if I didn't believe there still could be a chance for revival. I believe that I know there's souls around my area that needs to be saved. And I grew up in this area, and I guarantee you there's souls in this area. But folks, I believe that we fail to do business with God. And since we fail to do business with God, we go through the motion. We go over here, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we say we're His people, and we call, it says, which are called by my name shall humble themselves. We go through a fake humbleness, and we pray a short prayer, and we somewhat seek His face and turn from our somewhat wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will hear their land. That's not what the Word says. You know, if we truly confess, we're able to worship Him. If we truly do business with Him, we'll be able to get a hold of Him. And then, when you get a hold of all that, drop down to verse 16. It says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Folks, see, that's what we want. You know, it's a shame that a church closes, but it's because the people haven't confessed sin. The reason why a lot of these churches have closed, you know, I tell my people all the time, some of them say, oh, we've been around for 17 years. Don't mean we'll be there tomorrow. We've got to come to a point that we're willing to do business with the Lord. He says in Isaiah 55:7, He said, Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, and I think it was Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? He wants to make us a new heart, a new spirit. Folks, we've got to come to a place that we decide to do business with God. If we truly want revival, we're going to have to confess some things. We're going to have to quit doing the surface Christianity, the surface walk, and mean business. You know, I grew up around here, and I remember when they had revivals here, and I remember when the men would gather up in the old building, and they'd pray all night to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Some of them stay all night. And that revival usually wasn't over in 3 days, and everybody went home, and everybody said they had a good meeting. No, that meeting usually lasts 3 or 4 weeks. And then sometimes the meeting would break out here, and then they'd move it down to Alton. And folks, you say, what's the difference? We can barely get people to come to our churches and pray for 10 minutes around an altar. Oh, it's there. But just like in Nehemiah, I believe we're doing a lot of surface confessing, because we're not getting into the Word of God anymore and allowing the Word of God to convict us where we truly do business with Him, where we're truly able to worship Him.